Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you again this Tuesday on Gospel Dynamite. As we're making our way through many of the wonderful truths of the Bible, starting at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture, then our new bodies, then the judgment seat of Christ, our future home, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, and last week living in the millennium. Now we're going to move to the next event, which is the White Throne Judgment. And we'll be talking about that today. And again, we're rejoicing to be with you. Well, this is David Bowler, and we're thankful for your prayers. As God uses, I've been real busy. A lot of preaching, getting out the Word of God. And thank you for your prayers for Sue and I as we travel. About the business, a lot of things coming up, missionary conference coming up, meeting with Joe Jordan and his group, one with Randy Ray, and just keep praying for us that God will use us for His glory. And I thank you for tuning in today. We get to share together. I enjoy this time with you and the fellowship we have in serving the Lord. Today, we're going to begin talking about the White Throne Judgment. Let me read you the passage from Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, we come today to probably one of the most awesome scenes of the whole Bible. Sad scene. Very, very serious passage where God portrays that final judgment day. I know I was reading some of the memoirs of Billy Graham, and he said this: if I had life to live over again, I would preach more on judgment and warn men of the urgency they must be saved. I think I've told you the story. I was speaking at one of the annual banquets at the International Board of Jewish Mission with Brother Orman Norwood. I'd been invited to speak. Dr. Robertson went along. And at the end of my speaking, I called on Dr. Robertson. I said, come up and, Doc, if you would just say a word. And he's probably 96 now. And he comes and he stands in front of the microphone, and he had arthritis in his hands and his fingers kind of bent. He points his finger at the crowd and looks at him for a moment, and then he says, hail. 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 Quiet like that. And he said, dear friends, people are dying and going to hell, and we must reach them with the gospel for Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that. That touched my heart. And it's a truth that people are headed to the judgment that's coming, and they're not being warned enough today. According to the book of Revelation, we come to the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the millennial reign and the blessings of that last week. The rapture, the tribulation, the revelation, Satan bound, put in the bottomless pit, the millennial. Satan rebels against God, and then Satan is cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire, for all the eons of time, and then the white throne judgment. Now, all through the Bible, we'll taught there'll be a day of judgment for sinners. Listen to just a couple of the verses. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Now, those of us that are born again, we'll go to the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for our works, what we've done as a born-again believer, but our sins were judged on Calvary's cross. But the unsaved will come to the white throne judgment to be judged for their sins and condemned for the eternities for their rebellion and disobedience to Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad." Matthew chapter 10, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." He's talking about Capernaum. 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." See, God's going to bring all this to account. There are 265 passages on judgment in the Bible. There are another 184 verses on God's wrath to come against the ungodly. 449 times God warns man of the judgment to come. And one day out in the future, there's going to be this day of judgment. Now, inside the heart, the mind, the conscience of man, there's an awareness that there is a judgment out there, that there is a danger out there. Many a man in the last moments of his life will cry out. Maybe he's rejected God his whole life, and he'll cry out, "Oh, God." He realizes he's now going to face the great, the eternal, living God. R.G. Lee, that great preacher who preached in a pastor school 1 year up at Hammond, Indiana, and I heard him preach that great sermon on Payday Someday. And while he was preaching, he told the story of a girl called Tony Jo who had committed a murder. He told the story of the night she was carried down the hall to be executed. And when they strapped her into the electric chair, here's what she said. I'm quoting him. She said, "Somehow I knew God was running the show, but I just thought I could steal one act." There are many people that feel that way. They know God is control, but they feel they can steal one fleeting act. Voltaire at his deathbed said, "I am abandoned. I go to hell. Oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ." This man was a so-called atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist. There's a fool that says there is no God. Friends, listen to me. God and the Bible make it very clear that judgment is ahead. It's an unavoidable event if you're not saved without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several judgments listed in the Bible, three of them. I just want to kind of bump for you. First, there's the judgment of the believer's sin at Calvary. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sin has been judged, and they're not going to be held against you. They're as far away from the east as the west. God's forgotten them and remembers against you no more. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been forgiven. We've been justified by the blood of the Lamb by faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, I praise his name. Your sins, my sins, were judged in Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. Your case has been settled out of court. Jesus paid it all. Amen. And second is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where you and I, as believers, our lives are examined for our walk for the Lord. We stand or kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be judged concerning our entrance into heaven, but to be examined concerning our faithfulness to Jesus Christ who saved us. We're going to be evaluated by the deeds that we've done in this body, how we used our time, how we used our talents, how we used our testimonies, how we've used our treasure, how we've held the truth, and how we built our lives before the world and God with gold, silver, precious stones, or hay, wood, and stubble. But tonight, or this morning, you can tell I was thinking about the services last night, but, you know, today we look at the great white throne judgment this morning. It's a time when sinful men, men and women who would not receive Jesus Christ, stand before the great and the almighty God. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and they will be judged for their sinfulness against God. So we're going to examine that today, the white throne judgment, very simply. Number one, first of all, if you're keeping notes, it'll be the final judgment. Verse 11, it says again in Revelation 20, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." It says a great white throne. Great, because it'll be worldwide, great judgment. No one escapes this judgment who is unsaved. No man will be able to excuse himself. No man will be able to buy him way out of it. God says in verse 12, the small and the great stand before God. Whether you're a president, whether you're a king, whether you're a potentate or whatever, whether you're the poorest man in the world, you're going to stand at the white throne judgment if you never receive the Lord Jesus. And then he says a great white throne, the judgmental purity of the holy God. It'll be a righteous judgment. See, it contrasts the holiness of God, the pure judgment of God, to the blackness, the sinfulness of man, and the impartial or the partial partisan judgment of man. And then there's a picture, it drifts over, and him that sat upon it. Someone is sitting on this great white throne, whose visage, his face, is so terrible that the earth and the heaven flee away, the scripture says. Who is this? John 5:22 says, "The Father hath judged no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son." It's the sweet Lamb of God. It's Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who sits on this white throne judgment. Acts 17:31, it says, "God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him up from the dead." Who is it? It's the resurrected one. It's the Son. It's Jesus, the King of Kings, the sweet Lord of Lords, the one who offered salvation to all men. He sits upon this throne, this great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 through 17 says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave, every bondsman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." Look, "and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" It's the Son of God. It's the resurrected one. It's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look close at him sitting on that throne, you'll see the scars on his hands and feet from the crucifixion for our sins. You'll see the scars of from the crown of thorns on his head, still marked. Sinful man mocked him in this age of grace, spat on him, beat him with the lash, punched him in the face, pulled his beard. Others ignored him and mock him and ridicule him today. But this meek and lowly Jesus, in patience and grace and long suffering, waiting, encouraging men to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, the Lamb of God who came to take upon himself the sins of the world now sits as the unmerciful, righteous, holy judge, who will condemn and punish sin and erase it from his creation. Unsaved man will have to deal with Jesus Christ, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, the Judge of the universe. Well, it's a great question when people say, "What will you do with Jesus?" You see, we live in the day, friends, of mercy and grace. We live in the day of gospel preaching and gospel invitations, and whosoever will may come. The church says come. You and I say come. The Spirit says come. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? But see, in that day, this white throne judgment, the question will be, what will Jesus do with you? Well, as we look at this passage, as we continue to look at chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "The earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Revelation 21, 1, we talk about the new heaven and the new earth. You know what happened to the old earth as we went through the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. It melted like a fervent heat. No place to hide, no place to stand on. All false religion is eliminated. All self-righteousness is gone. All human power and wealth and influence is gone. There is no place to hide. There is no support. There'll be nothing to turn to because you've rejected the only hope. They've turned their heart away from God. There's nowhere to hide. There'll be no support for them. Hebrews 4:13 says they are naked before Him. What a tragedy. You'll find no place to hide. You've heard the story. You've heard about facing the music. The story came from a Japanese emperor who had a royal orchestra. Pretty easy service. Good salary, pension. This man who had friends in the court had arranged an appointment for himself in the orchestra. Only one problem, he couldn't play anything. For years, he would just hold his instrument, kind of like a little flute, and pretend to be playing. One day, it came when the emperor wanted everybody in his orchestra, one at a time, to come and play a song before him. It was to be an honor for the years of faithful service. Knowing this man, knowing his time was coming, he tried to get lessons, but he couldn't master the instruments. Too late. When his time came, it was discovered he was a fake. He was punished. He was sent into torment because he couldn't face the music. Now we've come face to face with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen, friend, if you're unsaved today, you have an appointment with God. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. See, you can bribe worldly authorities. You can feel strong in your influence. You can feel you have more power than you really do. You can feel you can depend upon your wealth. But at the great white throne judgment, you'll be without excuse. No place to hide. So, first of all, the great white throne judgment is a final judgment. Second thing, the great white throne judgment will also be a fearful judgment. I remember in high school, that's a long time ago for me, we had this government course, civics. We went down and sat in the court for several days. They were having a trial. And I remember the sentencing of a criminal who had done some terrible things, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. When they brought him up before the judge, there was somberness in the court, solemn. The judge severely looked at this man. He said, I am sentencing you to two life terms without parole. You'll never again be a free man. You will be punished all the days of your life for your crime, and you will die in prison. I remember that as a teenager. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is now on the throne. It's the day of the wrath of God. Revelation 14:10 says they will be tormented in fire and brimstone. So, at the white throne judgment, the lost are congregated. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. And we'll talk later about these. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Now, the dead at this moment, let me back up a minute. The saved will not appear at this judgment as victims. We'll be witnesses as the bride of Christ. We may even add our testimony to the justice of God and His punishment. As He says, so-and-so witnessed to you, invited you to come to me, and you rejected them and turn them down. Some people feel they can live their lives any way that they want to, but all the wicked dead are resurrected now. Their body was in the grave. Their soul was in hell. And now the great summons come, and it says there will be remember the Bible says there will be a resurrection to life and a resurrection to death. Resurrection of life is the rapture, the resurrection for the believer, and our resurrection of the just and the unjust, Acts 24, verse 15. But the Bible says, listen, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now, when he says death, this is the bodies, the abode of the body. hell is the abode of the soul. When a rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. And they're there in that terrible place of torment. And now the bodies are brought resurrected up. The soul and the body are put back together. But now there's not a glorified body. They're in that old wicked body, and they're standing before God. Some are going to be out-and-out sinners. I mean evil, wicked, terrible, terrible things. There'll be some that are just self-righteous sinners. Gospel's not for them. They're moralists. They're okay. They're humanists. They're proud of themselves. We're okay. We don't need Jesus. Forget this Jesus stuff. Then there's the procrastinator. Some, they know Jesus is the Son of God. They know they're a sinner. One of these days, they say, I'm going to change things, kind of like Agrippa. And then there's the unsaved church members, people that don't know Christ but are in church. They're being moral. They're trying to be good. And now all the lost who know not Jesus as personal Savior are gathered together before the judgment throne of God. Think, here's this man who dies lost. Maybe he dies of cancer, eating his body away, or some other terrible disease, refuses to come to Jesus. On that day, he'll have that old defiled body resurrected to suffer throughout all eternity. Man, what a tragedy. What a heartbreak to look at this. And then in verse 12, he says, and the books were opened. In these books are written the deeds of the lost sinners, the book of works, the book of thoughts, the book of life, the word of God, the book listing the things where God dealt with our conscience. All of these books, we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about as God opened the books. But this means, friends, listen to me, God is keeping a record introduced as evidence in that day. Daniel Webster, the great statesman, said at a luncheon with some young government leaders, the chairman turned to Mr. Webster and said, what, sir, is the greatest thought that's ever passed through your head? Quick as a flash, Daniel Webster replied, Christian, wrote Daniel Webster Dictionary. He said, my accountability to God. The realization that I am accountable to God and to make the appropriate response, which is to be saved, to trust the Lord as your personal Savior. Listen to me, folks. Do you realize God keeps a record on all the deeds of man? When a lost man is brought before Almighty God, all his deeds will be run before him by God. There's some scenes you wouldn't want anybody to see. All the things you want nobody to know. And if you're a lost person, it's going to be revealed to the world. Aren't you glad we're washed in the blood? Aren't you? See, the deeds of the damned are revealed to the universe to show that God is fair in his judgment. And then it'll be a fateful judgment. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, look at it, was cast into the lake of fire. Man, what a tragedy. See, the Lord Jesus Christ came to forgive man for his sin. Today he's doing it. The age of grace, the church age, the invitation, the Spirit says come. The bride says come. You and I say come. And if we'll come to Christ, he'll blot our sins out. Hebrews 10:17, and their sin and iniquity I'll remember no more. God erases it. He doesn't even remember our sins. He forgives and pardons, Jeremiah 33:8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity. Boy, that touches my heart and soul just to think about it. And he justifies us as we trust him to make us as if we had never ever sinned, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Boy, think of that old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And folks, there's nowhere else to hide. And as we look at that white throne judgment, it just burdens our heart. And it makes us rejoice in the sense that we're not going to be standing there as sinners. We have been washed in the blood. Do you know him today? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That you know your sins are washed away? If not, friend, just stop right where you are. Confess your sins. Tell Jesus you believe He is the Son of God. He died for you. He was buried. He was resurrected. Confess that you are a sinner. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Call upon Him to save you. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll be forgiven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you won't have to worry about the white throne judgment. That won't be a thing in your future. You're going to be part of the family of God. You're going to be with the Lord. You're going in the rapture to be with our Savior. Amen? Well, that's a hard way to begin the day, isn't it? But the good part is the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the books that were open. We're going to take a look through each one of these books for a moment and see what God is telling us about this to give us a greater understanding as we're moving along. And we're almost at the end of this study for 15, 16 weeks. But I hope you'll stay tuned next week. You'll come back in and be with us in our Bible study. I hope you'll continue to pray for WDYN and the ministry here. Brother Tommy, the staff, that you would pray God's blessing on them. The resources. It takes funds to run a station, to keep the equipment renewed and all the things. This is God's station. It's part of an opportunity 24 hours a day to send out the gospel. We're praying that God will help us double the power, I think around $50,000. Maybe some of you said, hey, I can handle that. Or a part of it, that you send a check to the station and said, I want this to be part of the doubling the power. Now, we still have to give to undergird the station. Sue and I give every time we have a share-a-thon, twice a year to that, and other love offerings to operate the station. But we want to be a part also of doubling the power so it can be used in a greater capacity, that this is part of our spiritual investment for the Lord. Amen? Well, thank you for being with us. Look forward to seeing you next week. Hope you have a great day and a great week. And it's my prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ will richly bless you.